All right, good morning. How is everybody for June? How about June 2024? Unbelievable, isn't it? You good for that? More Jesus? More of Jesus? It's one step closer to Jesus? Come on, Jesus. Oh, he's coming on. He's coming on. He's here, other than, you know, he's already made a way. He's preparing the way, and we propose to prepare the way for him and the truth and the life. So anyway, welcome to the lamp of the body. This is the light of the body, the lamp of the body. Kind of threw it in there when the KJV version, the lamp of the body, which is the light of the body. This kind of came to me when I was in a place where, I don't know, I had a kind of a epiphany or of a revelation of the Lord kind of highlighting things in my life. And that's usually how it works anyway for me. If it's not highlighted in my life or something I've kind of walked through or worked through, I don't have the ability or to say the anointing to be able to release, because it has to have that power. It has to have that understanding with it to be able to minister to others. You know, you got to have the witness. The witness is the Holy Spirit. It's the manifestation of the Spirit of God. That's the anointing. So when that's present, that's the only way that you will be able to pick up what's being laid down. It's only through the Spirit of God and that anointing that's going to teach you. It says over in 1 John, it says that you need no one to teach you, but the anointing will teach you. And that means it's not that you're going to look to a man to teach you. So that's what John was talking about. He's not saying that it's not going to come through a man. But it's only going to come through a man if the anointing is coming through the man. That's what's going to teach you. The anointing, the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And see, the other word for the Spirit of God is also called a counselor, the teacher, the Spirit of truth. And it's also called the witness. Right? So, especially I like when, say, if you share your testimony with someone, and I hope you do. And I hope you understand what is your testimony. I hope you understand that there's always a testimony. Once you have that conversion, once you meet the Lord, once you come into the kingdom of God and become his child, that's one testimony. And a lot of us want to say, well, there's my testimony. Well, it is. That's your conversion testimony. That's your encounter testimony. From then on now, as you have fellowship with the Spirit and with the Father, with the Son, with the Lord, you'll have more testimonies. Because what you'll find out when you start digging into the Word of God, you'll have your life validated. The Word teaches us, too, in the Spirit, because it's anointed, right? It's breath of God right here, the Logos. All right, so now you're also going to have, as you move forward in your walk, in your fellowship with the Lord, in reading this word, because that's part of what you're going to have fellowship with. This is one part of it. You will have the written word of God, but what it does, it validates the Spirit of God in you and who you are. It also validates who he is. And who he is in you by the actions of what happens when he invades you. Or he comes upon you. Or he comes in you. And you become one with him. Then you start growing into the likeness of his child. Should we stay that way? No. This is what this is about. This is what this teaching's here. This is why we have people here. That's why we have the anointing that comes into the body, so it will grow us and help us mature into the likeness of Christ. It says in Ephesians that the gifts are given out so that we could all become to the fullness and unity of Christ. So that's all of us too. So I think one of the big things, and I think I told Miss Faye when she finished up last week that she was hitting all over, you know, sort of like a segue into where I'm going here, because she was talking about the parts of the body and the living stone. She was talking about the house. She was talking about the temple, right? She was talking about the temple and then the living stones, the door, the roof, what all that was. Well, I said, well, one thing that you left out, and I'm kind of glad you did, because, well, let's talk about the light of that temple, the light of the body. Now, what is the body? Just mine? Well, it can be. That's what I have to work on first. As I develop and I start working into me, it's going to affect how I see the rest of the body. So the body now is what? The accumulation of believers, the children of God, the family. This, we are the kingdom, right? He is our ruler, the king, over the kingdom, over us. Not of this world. Now the world is broken. It's gone. It's not coming back. He's pulled you out of the world and into the kingdom. It says that you've been translated from darkness and into light. So here we are. So that brings me, there's three different things that we're probably going to touch in this. We're going to break it down. And number one, as we get started, it's going to be, do you see others the way God sees you? But to do that, we need to establish, well, how do you see God? How do you see the Lord? How do you see Him? There's multiple ways that, you know, we could get it, and that's part of the world or the enemy, the darkness, is trying to delusion the way you see. And one of those ways is probably as you have been born into this world. It says that you're born into sin, and that sin is dark, right? You're born into darkness, and you're shaped by what? The effects of the darkness, the iniquities, the dwellings of being dark. And so that's how that's shaped in our lives. So we grow up and go through so much stuff. When we get delivered, but it is a delivery because you go to a delivery room most of the time unless you're born in the barn. I heard somebody say, well, was you born in a barn or something? I said, well, yeah, we were born in a barn. But as you grow, you go through so much stuff, and some of it becomes and is very traumatic to you. So that's why in Elijah's house, in the deliverance ministry and healing, that's why one of the things that we focus on is how do you see God? Because that affects how you see Him is going to affect how you see yourself and also how you're going to see the body. So as I was going through some things and I'm like, man, you know, you kind of feel how Paul in some of his writings and when he calls, you know, he's not walking in a false humility. He's really just being honest and truthful when he says, I'm the least of the apostles. And he's when he goes on in to say, I'm the chief of sinners. You know, I know, because it rears its head in my life a lot, the old man, so much that you can even say, well, you're like two different people living in one. You're correct. That's the problem. And that's what I have to get out. I have to get out that other person, the old man, because he always tries to come up. And that old man is dark. He's dark. There's no light in him. But there's light in Christ that's in me. And that's what I have to walk in. That's what I have to do. So I'm sitting here and riding on the golf cart and working on the farm, running around and doing things. And I'm like, what a wicked man I am. You know, that's my conversation with the Lord. Listen, if you cannot be honest with him, then the light might not have shone in you yet. If you can't see, you know what I mean? That man, I hate the things that I do, Paul read. I hate the things. That's what I'm saying. When you start reading in here these teachers, when the Spirit of God, the light of life comes in you, it's going to start illuminating these things in your life. And the old man. And you're going to be honest, hopefully, when they're highlighted, and then you're going to address those things, because that's why it's highlighted, so that you can address those things. Why did Jesus say, hey, let's remove the log out of our eyes before we even worry about taking a speck out of your brothers and sisters? You know, the Lord showed me that while, you know the old saying? I heard it growing up when people would start getting in little arguments or something, and one of the first things they'd pipe up, well, I tell you what, you better start sweeping around your own back door before you start coming sweeping on mine. I'm like, okay. But now I get the revelation. That lines right up with what the Lord was telling the people, because he spoke in parables that they would understand, because he spoke in things what was evident in understanding of people in that time. When you have a log in your eye, how are you going to operate and remove somebody else? So that's got to do with something called judgment, right? So we're going to be moving into that as well as we break down later on in the work of the convictions of the Holy Spirit. Not what we are supposed to convict and try to play the part of the Holy Spirit. And so that's when we start getting into this religious spirit, this religious mindset, this deception that we think is light and we're doing a just work. And what we end up doing is pushing and condemning the body. What that really looks like to the Lord is that you are coming against him, because that's his child. So as I'm riding around, I'm like, Lord, what a wicked man that I am. Hallelujah. And he says, I don't see anything but light in you. That's what he sees. He sees light in me. The darkness is gone in him. And I'm like, well, I'm awful. Yeah, but I'm great. Is his work enough? And by saying that, it gets us to say, is he not enough? What he did for you, is it not enough? Is he not enough? He is enough. And that's where we got to get to the. So when it is finished, it really means it is finished. So why aren't we growing and really loving one another? Listen, you got to love yourself. Because he said you want to love them as you love yourself. So here's the identity crisis, or the lamp of the eye. So he highlighted it, and it's Matthew 6, 22 and 23. That's where it all comes from. But I want to get back to how do we see God to develop. But when he took me back there, he showed me that, and it's like, wow. So why am I seeing this other stuff? So let's look at Matthew 6, 22 and 23. So let's put this up here, because this is really the main theme of it. where this comes from. And this is a huge, huge verse. And there's only like two verses in there. But it really expounds in so many directions, in so many ways in our life. It really comes back to say, hey, I'm removing the log from your eye, for you worry about a speck over here. What am I really doing? So what is your perception of your heart? We know he says also, I think it's at what, Matthew 12 over there, where, and 44, I think it might be right somewhere right there. Through the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, Proverbs tells you over there in 4 that what? The heart is the wellsprings of your issues of life. So everything's going to develop in the kingdom. It's going to develop from where? The heart. What do we say to the little children and everything when we say, have you asked Jesus in your heart? You know, does Jesus actually come in your heart? No, not technically, you know, because I can't put a man inside my heart. But the Spirit of God moves inside of this body and starts working where? From the command center of my soul, which is the heart. That's the deep, deep, what's it, the inner body, the of the soul. So when Jesus said from the body, what the from the belly of the soul shall flow rivers of living water, the issues of life, the wellspring is your heart. So the Spirit of God will move in, and what he says, that he will circumcise. He will take the calloused heart out and put in one, a tender heart. One that loves. Because, see, we don't know love until we have that encounter of Christ. By the Spirit, Jesus was the form of a man of God, birth as a child, the Son of God, to reveal the unknown and unseen God to who? The world, the broken world. So when that moves in, this is just a breakdown. I know this is probably remedial stuff, but when you really break this thing down and just see the specifics of how God stretched his hand out to his favorite creation because he wants them to be what? In his image, like him. With understanding of what love really looks like. And so that's what puts us on this huge journey of inward journey and then develops to an outward journey. Because what's inside of me must come out. He must be revealed to others through me. I am a portal of the Spirit of God unto a broken world. You are a vessel, a jar of clay, Paul writes so eloquently, that not for the power of God, that it's not your power, but it's for the power of God to be revealed in you, to work through you. He says, I am a workmanship now. His fine vessel created for his purpose. And so if my light, what does it say? What does it say in there? If my eye, what does it say right there? Somebody want to read that for me? Matthew 6:22. Are y'all still there? Or did y'all get lulled to sleep? Yeah, somebody, anybody. Naomi.
The lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light.
Yes. Verse 23. Is that 23 or just 22? That was 22 and 23, wasn't it? Let Naomi got it. Naomi's got it. What you got, Naomi?
But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Wow. So that's where he brought me to. So here's the lamp of the body. Here's the light. What is that? The eyes. Your eyes. But we also know the Bible teaches us that what? We do not walk by sight, but by faith. Now. Here's where the faith comes in. I can see all kind of stuff here. But Paul also writes over in 2 Corinthians, what is seen is temporary. It's what's not seen is eternal. Okay, so if I'm looking through and I'm seeing darkness all around me, then what does that say? What does it say? Well, through that scripture right there, it says, if that light be dark, how great is that darkness? So that's that lampshade. When I'm looking now, my perspective is through the soulish man that's not been nurtured and taken care of by the Spirit of God. So now I'm seeing darkness out. Does that make sense? If I'm looking through my eyes and I'm seeing a bunch of darkness, then what am I seeing through? Yes, a double eye, the King James said. Then your eye is double, it's dark. But if it's a single eye, or if it's the eye what? How does the Lord see you? See, that's why it all hinges on there. See, he does not see you anymore in that darkness. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. That just focuses the light on this particular thing, just one day at a time, what I'm doing, and thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
It's true.
I can go there.
Well, it puts us...
I used to think where it said, man's heart shall fail them for fear of the things they see coming upon the earth. The Lord showed me that, honey, it's just not about people having heart attacks because mm-hmm. they don't know me. You can't stay in this. Oh, I want to know what's going on. But you can't stay in that. Mm-hmm. Because it will turn into darkness.
Well, I think Jesus addressed that part too, didn't he? He said, no one lights a lamp or a candle and puts a bushel over it, a shade over it. He said, no, you put it up in a high spot so it can do what? Light up the whole room. So that's the same thing. So here again, there's selfishness kind of comes in there, but does... I don't want to say selfishness. It's not selfishness when you're doing self-examination. Okay, that's doing work. That's the hard stuff. That's going inside, down into the dungeons of trauma, of the darkness of man that you've been created by to walk here. And so we take that light. Say, also one of the Proverbs over there says that the spirit of a man is like a lamp or a candle unto the Lord, searching the most inner parts of the belly or the soul. So he'll take the spirit of life that he's giving you, and he'll use that to explore, to help you see what's in there so that it can be removed. And that's part of what that fire of the Holy Spirit does. That it does what? It works the dross to the top. So now what do we have to do? We have to take that off. And in by doing that process, we're going to lay it over here, so that the vessel could be fit for the finer, for the Creator. Yes, Mary.
Today. And that just daily prayer is something that has focused my heart so much because it's just too easy to get distracted.
Oh, yeah.
See that dross coming to the top. How can you skim off what you're just too distracted even to see?
Well, and that's the thing. If you're in the middle of it, you can't see it. That's why I need my brothers and sisters, other parts of the body that can see clearly, that's really walked this thing out. That's why we have... it's like hierarchy. It's not hierarchy, though, but it's people who have traveled through there, have skimmed things, have taken the log out their eye, who can see clearly so that they can help you see clearly the fault. It's not, but see, that's in the love. That's not coming in a religious spirit and doing condemnation things, because that's the enemy. For the word says that those, what? Who are of the Lord is what? Not condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So who are in the light? Naomi?
Well, that's where, you know, the Word of God says don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We speak in the world all the time, so that's why it's so important to speak more in the Word of God, to take on the likeness, to learn how he sees us, so we can feel for that. The Holy Spirit can show us, see, this is how God sees you. Mm-hmm. And this is how you're seeing yourself. Mm-hmm. This is how God sees that person, and that's how you're not seeing them that way. This is how I want you to see them. And you've got to line it up with the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God, we have no plumb line.
Lee.
Mm-hmm. Because it gives us a better perspective of what you were just saying about how we need each other. And it says, the God of all encouragement and comfort, who encourages us in all our trials so that we can encourage others in whatever trials that they may be under,
right,
with the same encouragement that we receive.
Right. And that's part of the grace. You know, and that's we want to preach, you know, I don't say we want to preach grace, but there's this big grace movement that came through, you know, everybody. And but the thing is, did they understand the grace, or was it just a feel good tickling kind of thing? Because the flesh wants to feel good. It doesn't want to do the self-examination. It doesn't want that candle of the Lord to search these things, because listen, our soul has diverted into a savior type, okay? Your soul will start shutting doors in your life so that it wants to protect you. When who is your real protector? The Lord. So your soul will automatically default, and it'll close the door. So that's how you develop, like, dungeons, you know? Down deep, dark in your soul, things that you've pushed down in there, and a lot of times it will kind of cut you off, like in that age that you were, that those things happened to you, and so there's very little maturity in there, so you'll kind of divert back to like a little child when those things happen to you, and that's why you'll see them through a child's eyes. Or really a dark version, because that's all you've seen, right? And so there's your perception. I don't want to get too deep in this stuff, but this is how we want to get to those parts, and that's why the body really helps, because it says he said the ministry of reconciliation, and he gives that to you so that the things that has happened in our life will be reconciled, that we have the ability to reconcile the hurts, the pains, the traumas, to deliver and help one another walk through these stages, that where you're not alone. And that's the beauty of the body. But the beauty of the body is have to be able to see the perception of light instead of darkness. Because if you're trying to minister to help one another and you're seeing in darkness, you're going to condemn that person and move that person in a wrong direction. But see, should we call down fire upon these? Jesus, you don't even know the manner of spirit that you are. How are you going to minister or serve someone when you're moving in your own agenda? And see, some of those, we don't even know that we are. See, that's the kick, because we've not really had fellowship with the Lord. Let's look at 1 John. I mean, it feels like I just got started and we already... We got 10 Sundays in June, I think. feels like I need it. Let me put these spectacles on. So let's go to 1 John, and this is where establishing how we see God, because if we can't see God in the light, then how are we going to even see ourselves in the light? Then how are we ever going to get to the point to where I can see the body in light? So that's a huge deal. So let's look at that. How do we see others by the way of God? Look, well, first we need to establish how do we see God. And this is going to be in truth, who he truly is. Now, if you've not experienced and encountered the Spirit of God, that's why this right here, this is teaching and work for the saints. This is not an evangelistic message or going to bring everybody to the altar. Now, you might want to come to the altar, but it's because of the Spirit of God moving upon you, because you know that you need to develop and get stronger and maturity. Teleos, to the perfection, because we all want to be like Christ. We want to be like he sees us, and we want to see others as he sees us. Listen, when they brought the lepers and the adulterous woman and all these things to him, how did he see them? How did he see them then? Yes, he seen them as they are. Not as of their sin. Not of their darkness. Because he was there to take care of that. Let's see. So 1 John 5:7. It says, let's look at this right here. And I'll just go ahead and read this off for time constraints. It says, but look. This is the message. Let's go to 5:5. So this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, what do? We lie. We lie to ourselves. We're untruthful to ourselves. So what does that tell you right there? That you must be what? Honest. Truthful. With who you are and where you've been and what it is. You need to make sure, because that's the thing. We can't just shut this thing back down and say, no, I don't want to deal with that right now. Okay? When are you going to deal with it? You see, because as long as you don't deal with it, you're not going to mature. You're not going to grow. The light is still not there where it needs to be. So as we go further, it says, so we lie and do not practice what? The truth. But if we walk in the light as what? He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Hallelujah. So, what did we learn? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So would you say that he sees out of a single eye? Is his light clear? His lamp is clear. His eye is clear. What's the old song? I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Oh, whoa, whoa. There's no obstructions anymore. He's taken all that away. So why can't we see clearly as he sees clearly? Because there's obstructions and darkness that we still have that we're not dealing with. This is not a condemning teaching, right? It's okay. We all have been born into this world. We all have been broken because it's broken. We all have been traumatized one way or another as we have grown in the world. We've been shaped by it. But now, I always like to say that, hey, I was born in sin and I was shaped by iniquity. But now I am born unto righteousness and being shaped by his holiness. I hope you agree with that, because that's what it is. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's read this right quick. Let's jump over now to John 1, 7, 11. That's where I go. I already read that one, right? No? Yes. So that's where he's at. And so now let's go to 2. John, 1 John 2, 8. So it says, yet a new commandment I am writing to you, which holds true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's moving. He's moving. It's developed. It's working. And Paul wrote, who has started a good work in you? He will finish it. So to me, the enemy will try to make it like this a condemning word, but to me, it's a hopeful word. And with the power of hope, everything outside of that's in trouble. Because hope is very powerful. Don't give me a bit of hope. What was the thing about the little mouse? I never can let that go. The little mouse in the water. You know, and it didn't last very long. But the next experiments, they threw another one in there, and they gave him a life preserver. They gave him a way out, and they let him rest up for a little while, and then they put him back in that water again. And I think it was like, it was only like 15 minutes or 45 minutes or something the first time that one died, and they let him go close to that point, and then they gave him a way out. And then they put him back in there, a little mouse with hope. Do you remember how long he treaded water? I'm thinking it was like 72 of them. It was unbelievable. Y'all can look it up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it was incredible how long that mouse treaded, because he had just that little bit of hope. That I'm going to have a way out if I just keep churning, if I just keep going, if I just keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Let God work. Let that light come into you. Let that fellowship, that's what that looks like, that fellowship with one another, but the fellowship with the Spirit of God and the Father. Let His blood continue to move. If we have that hope, that's why we don't want to, you know, that darkness and anything does not want you to have it. So what is darkness? Right. The absence of light is darkness. Darkness has no power. It just doesn't have light. So who are we? We'll check back Sunday. All right. That was a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right. So let's go ahead and close up, so Randy ain't got to ding me again. I feel like I'm on the Gong Show. Some of you might know the Gong Show. Some of you might not. I used to love old Chuck. Was it? That, my grandma couldn't stand it. My grandma, my mama, she couldn't stand it. I'd find that on there. I'd watch that. What are you doing? That show's crazy. You don't need to watch that. And then I'd find my papa had one of those little glasses with the big nose on them, whatever. And I think Chuck used to put those, they used to wear them things too. And I found those things. I'd run around there acting crazy. They'd run me out of there. You got the devil in you, boy. Let's get you. Nah, wasn't that bad, I don't think. But she was pretty strict on some stuff. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for the love and life you've given us, Lord. But thank you also for that light that you are. Thank you for giving us the way to shed this darkness, to burn it up, Lord. Because, you know, as we're going to dig off in here, we're going to see that, you know, that our deeds were dark and our ventures and all, but it was simply because we didn't know who you were. The world didn't know who you were. But now, since the light has come, Lord God, you've illuminated our past. You've illuminated our souls, Lord God. And you've used in that to help develop us and mature us into your likeness. And so, Lord, you've given us that ministry of reconciliation so that we can be reconciled back to you and help reconcile others back unto you too, so they may see the light, Lord God, the light of the world, and believe. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we speak life, and let light and the ministry over today's worship, Lord God, and help us just develop just a loving fellowship within you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, guys.